It's not like any other podcast, coming to you straight from the heartland, where investing is told like it is. It's time for Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to this installment of our podcast. It is great to have you with me, wherever and whenever you may be listening. Glad to have you aboard. And the topic for this installment is one that you'll probably hear from, more than a handful of people, because it has to do with 2018 predictions. And you know, this time of year, end of the year, beginning of the following year, you really can't go too many places or see too many things come across your TV or your computer, your email, your phone, whatever, that has something to do with 2018 and what you can expect and what you will happen. And of course, there's always the Nostradamus kind of folks that like to predict, end of world and global ice age, or all those kinds of things that are supposedly going to happen over the coming year. But we're going to be a little more pragmatic than that. We're going to talk about financial investing stuff in 2018 and what you can look forward to, especially when it comes to investment real estate. And I'm going to give you what I consider my top three financial predictions for 2018. And I think this is good information to think about, not only in terms of really what I would consider writing on the wall, but also in terms of maybe some things you might want to consider when it comes to your own investing and what you are thinking of doing, or heck, in some cases, not doing in 2018. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the top three. So let's go over the top three investment predictions that I have for 2018. And I want you to think about, as I'm going through these, how you can benefit from these predictions, not only in terms of what you can do, but again, maybe some things that you shouldn't do, maybe some directions you shouldn't go in as a result of this information. Okay, so let's talk about the predictions I've got. So let's go with number one. Number one is a prediction that I have been talking about for actually the last 18 to 24 months. So I guess technically to say it's a prediction for 2018 is probably really not the case. This has been something I've been talking about prior to right now. Do I think that we'll be seeing more of this in 2018? Yes. Do I think that this will have more of an impact in 2018 than it has over the last year, year and a half? Yes. But in terms of this being a new prediction, it's not. It's something I've talked about actually at length from time to time over the last year, year and a half. And so this one will probably not surprise many of you, but it has to do with apartment investments and it has to do with demand from tenants. Okay, so what you're going to see, which is prediction number one, what you will see is demand will increase at probably the largest rate we've seen in the last 3 to 5 years for tenants wanting to and needing to rent apartments. Okay, so you're going to see 2018 being a big year for those investors that own specifically apartments. It's going to be a big year for them because they will have, and I'm using this figuratively, of course, they'll have a line out their door of residents wanting to rent their apartments. And you've seen it now over the last few years, but now it's going to start to get to a point where it's going to be noticeable, okay? And over the last couple of years, year and a half specifically, it really hasn't been noticeable. unless you're somebody like me who's in the real estate business, always looking around and looking under all the rocks and checking out everything, you know, unless you're me, you really can't see it. It's not like you're driving around and see it. It's not like if you're walking in the, you know, you're out shopping and maybe out for dinner. It's not like you can really see it when you're out and about, or it's not anything you really read about or see much about in terms of the media. So you really don't know what's going on, but it has been going on, and you're going to now start noticing it in 2018. You're going to see more mention of it. It's going to be in the news more often. You might even see or hear more from friends, relatives, word of mouth about this. But bottom line is you're going to see more tenants wanting to and needing to rent apartments in 2018 than we've seen in the last 3 to 5 years. And there's a long list of reasons why tenants need to and want to. Let me just hit the top two, okay, because there's more, but I don't want this to be a podcast just about reason number one or prediction number one, but let me hit the top two. First of all, residents, people will need to because it's what they can afford, okay? It's what they can afford, and by affordability, I mean, of course, what it costs to rent an apartment versus owning your own single-family home or condo and the upkeep that is involved with that, and I also mean in terms of creditworthiness, okay? So it's not a surprise that you have to be pretty squeaky clean anymore to be able to get a loan to buy your own home or condo. Much, much harder to do that today, and it's going to continue to be harder for folks. Not because so much that the rules have changed and the qualification process has changed, but by the way, it has. So it's harder from that standpoint, sure, but that's not really the main reason. The main reason is people just won't qualify, even now. They're not going to. Whether it's income, whether it's credit issues, whether it's a judgment, some kind of a bad mark on their credit, maybe a lien or something in their past, residents will increase, or potential residents for apartments will increase, because people just have not done a good job in minding their credit and minding their income. So just the other day, I was reading that most Americans are in debt, deeply in debt, and most are behind on their debt. Okay. Well, most people rent. Okay. Most people rent. And so you throw that in the mix along with my other big reason, which is cost of living increases versus the amount of money people earn anymore in order to keep up with the cost of living increases. So it's expensive anymore to live. Bottom line, it is. So it costs more money to live, to buy the things you need to buy, to pay for all of the things you need to pay. And, oh, by the way, throw in things like extras, which I would call entertainment and savings. It's tough, which is the main reason why most people are in debt and have problems paying their debt. It's going to get worse, not better, which means more and more people will what? That's right, they will rent versus buy because it's more affordable. Now, just to clarify, am I saying that the single family home buying market or condo buying market is dead? No, of course not. Single family homes will continue to be purchased. Condos will continue to be purchased. Developments will continue to go up. I mean, all this is still going to happen, right? But you're going to see more and more of the population now move over towards renting versus owning. So that's prediction number one, more demand from tenants, and so much so in 2018, it's going to be noticeable. So let's go to number two. Great segue. Number two, because of the increased demand from people to want to be tenants versus owners, that's going to increase the demand for people to want to invest in apartments, okay? And people could mean individual investors. It could mean companies. It could mean equity funds or partnerships or real estate investment trusts. So when I say people, I mean like all investors. So because the continued migration of people will be noticeable from owner to renter, because it will be noticed, now you will have more and more investors, people, wanting to buy apartments and own them because they see this happening. So if you happen to be an apartment property owner, you will have a nice year in 2018 from a demand for what you own standpoint. There will be more investors wanting to own what you have if you are an apartment property owner than I would say in the last at least 3 to 5 years, possibly the last 10 years. There will be more investors wanting what you have if you happen to be an apartment owner than arguably the last, let's just say, 7 to 10 years. Okay, and I don't see it going away. 2019 could be even worse. I mean, even better, excuse me, for apartment owners, because I think there'll be even more demand from investors in 2019, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Writing's on the wall on this one, folks. You know how investors work and how the process works. So when you see more and more tenants lining up to rent apartments, more and more investors are going to line up to own them and buy them. That's what's going to happen. So to get yourself involved in owning an apartment property would be a smart idea. To get yourself to own more apartment properties if you own some now would be a smart idea. Because you certainly don't want to start getting into this once the market catches up to itself and everybody wants to be an apartment owner, right? It's like going into the stock market when everybody's buying stocks and it's at an all-time high. Wrong time to go in. Same with this. Wrong time to go in. You want to be going in now. Now, because you've got enough time to make a nice profit as an apartment owner by going in now. Now, if you happen to be an apartment owner now, okay, let's say you are, you want to make sure that everything is being done to maximize the value of your apartment property now. Right? So for example, if you've been putting off raising some rents, get those rents raised. Okay. If you've been putting off auditing those expenses to see where you can be saving money on expenses, get to auditing those expenses. If you've got a tenant mix in some of your units that you're just not happy with, start working on your tenant mix. So you want to start paying more attention at maximizing the income that your apartments are producing than you have in the past. Okay? Because the more income they produce, the more they will be worth, especially when it comes to investors out looking around to buy. And something that goes with that, along with that, is making sure that you have all of your deferred maintenance taken care of, or as much of it as you possibly can. The reason for that is when an investor looks at, or investors, or people look at buying an apartment property, the shorter the list of work they have to do to the property when they take over, the more money they'll pay for it. Okay? The more money they'll pay for it. So, maximizing income and reducing the amount of work needed that the apartment property or properties need for someone when they take over, for an investor when they take over. Right. So that's number two. Prediction number two, big demand for investors out looking around to buy apartment properties. Then there's going to be prediction number three. And this one, I've been told, is a little controversial, is what I've been told. But I stand behind this because I think this is really going to be the case. There's going to be a demand, number three, for investors to invest in vehicles that are not subject to two things. Number one, wild market swings. Okay. And number two, not subject to being hacked or infected by some kind of virus or computer hacker. Okay. So the demand for investors, which is prediction number three, will grow at a big, big rate, and it will be noticeable. To be involved in an investment that does not require a whole bunch of wild sleep, not being able to sleep at night, market swings, and is not subject to being hooked up to some computer where it can be hacked, where information can be mined, where identities can be stolen, where money can be stolen out of accounts, where things can be manipulated, etc. There's going to be huge demand for that kind of investment in 2018. So I'm listening to a radio program a couple of days ago on my way into the office. And the lady that was talking on the radio called in and said that she hired a hacker to go into a company's website to change information about her that the company had on its website. So if you go to this company's website and you access their employees, there was some information there that she didn't want to have out there, but the employer basically thought they needed to have that out there. She went round and round with the employer to no avail. So she decides to take matters into her own hands. She, through word of mouth, found a hacker, called up the hacker to break into the website and change the information. Long story short, the hacker did. And it was pretty easy. It took him an hour and a half to do it. This is breaking into a company's website that has firewalls and antivirus and all of those things set up, all of those supposed shields to set up, shields that are set up to make sure this doesn't happen. And she got it done in an hour and a half by someone that had through word of mouth. I'm telling you, folks, if somebody really wants to get your information that's out there and make your life miserable by either stealing money, making changes to you, your accounts, your personal information, they're going to be able to do it. Okay? They're smarter than the people that are making all of the software and all the firewalls set up to stop them. They're always one step ahead. So what are people going to do? They want to be involved in an investment that doesn't require worrying about somebody breaking in, stealing their money, changing their information, or stealing their personal information. Okay? So no matter, and I'm talking mainly about conventional investments. Any investment that you've got that's hooked up somewhere to a computer, or somehow to a computer, is subject to theft and problems. Well, which investment is not? Well, one that comes to mind would be an apartment building, right? Self-storage facility. You can't break into that. I can't hack into an apartment building investment. No way to do that. Can't hack into a self-storage facility. Another investment would be gold. So we look at gold. Can I hack into a gold bullion? No. Now, if you've got an account set up online that owns that, yeah, I can hack into that. But if you have gold bars sitting in your basement, I can't hack into that. If you have an apartment building that you own or part of one that maybe you're a partner in, I can't hack into that. Okay? Those kind of investments are going to be growing in a big, big way on investors' radar screens because of the issues and problems of personal information, especially when it comes to money, being out there and accessed by people. This will be demanded by people because they don't want to worry about that. And they don't want everything that they worked hard for be screwed up by some computer hacker. And by the way, if you have a bank CD or something like that in a credit union, you don't think that you're 100% safe because it's hooked up to a computer somewhere keeping track of it. And look, I'm not trying to give you the doom and gloom scare you thing here. That's not my point. I'm just telling you the way it is. So Those two kinds of investments, those more hard asset kind of investments, are going to become very, very popular in a big, big way, in a noticeable way in 2018. Now, I also talked about being involved as part of that in investments that aren't subject to wild swings. There is a reason why investors in record numbers over the last couple of years have taken money out of venture capital and private equity funds, because they're tired of the wild swings. They want something more predictable where they can do actually some planning. They can actually not have to lay awake at night worrying if everything's going to work out. And arguably right now, you could say the same thing about the stock market, couldn't you? And by the way, I have money invested in the stock market, so I'm not picking on the stock market. I'm just saying, as I'm recording this podcast, it's at an all-time high. How much higher will it go? Well, do you want to sink majority of your retirement money, a bunch of money that you've saved, into the market now to find out? Lay awake at night, keep your eye on the stock ticker every day, open up the financial pages of whatever online source you've got, or maybe you still get a newspaper. I still get a newspaper, by the way, but whatever you do, are you willing to lay awake at night worrying about what kind of roller coaster ride you're going to have this week, next month, the end of this year? More and more people don't want to have that in their lives. They want more predictability, and they want an investment that will give them a good return without all of the worry, all of the headache, all of the roller coaster rides. And here's the key to this. The key is this. Conventional investments today are more influenced not by how well they do, but by forces outside of how well they do. Public opinion, societal factors, economic factors. Okay, so for example, what will have a great impact on the stock market tomorrow? If North Korea made some kind of a mention that they've got a nuclear warhead and they're thinking about doing more nuclear warhead testing. And by the way, United States, stay out of our way. That news comes out tomorrow. What do you think is going to happen to the markets? That's right. It's going to take a dip. Okay. What about societal issues? What about a terror attack? You know, heaven forbid that happens. A big terror attack at a shopping mall or somewhere else. What do you think the markets are? How do you think the markets are going to react to that? That's right. They're going to react negatively. So the markets today react more on bad news, whether it's societal news now, fake news, economic news, world or political news. There is more ups and downs with conventional markets today based on news and events than on how well the stocks or investments or bonds, whatever conventional investment you want to name, does. And it's going to be even worse in 2018. So am I saying get out of all that? Of course not. Am I saying be aware of it? You darn right. Again, I have money in those markets, but I also know what I'm talking about and am making moves and manipulating things in my financial world to more fit what I'm talking about. And my recommendation would be for you to at least consider not being so exposed to those kinds of investments that are subject to the roller coaster rides, to bad news, real or fake, and also subject to being hacked, attacked, another version of the WannaCry virus, you name it. Okay. So the investments that help eliminate that worry are going to be very popular in 2018. Okay. Number three. And so far in this podcast, I've gone over my top three predictions. And let me just go ahead and mention them again really quick for you. Number one, resident people, tenant demand to rent apartments will grow at such a large rate in 2018, it's going to be noticeable. That's number one. Number two, demand from investors to get involved in owning those kinds of properties because they hear, they see, they understand that that's where people are going at a very, very quick noticeable rate. I'll just use that term, at a noticeable rate. It's going to be noticeable, so investors are going to want in on that action. Okay, they're going to want in. So you're going to see more and more investors wanting to own those kinds of assets that people, i.e. tenants, want to live in. And then number three, for folks that want to invest and make smart investments, the popularity of investments that are not subject to wild market swings, not subject to societal influences, political influences, fake news, bad news, globally, nationally, etc., and not be subject to those worrisome roller coaster rides are going to be more and more popular. And then also those kinds of investments that are immune to the kinds of meddling, technological, computer hacking, stealing of information, private information, for the hopes of using it to profit. Those kinds of investments will be popular in 2018. Okay, so I guess now, what do? We wait and see. Will my predictions happen? The only way we'll know is to have this conversation about this time next year, right? So we can have this conversation and say, well, gee, Darren, you were right about that, or you were wrong about this, or you're right about that. We'll see if I'm right. And it'll be interesting to see if my predictions shake out like I think they will. And it'll be interesting to be having this conversation again this time next year to see how it all works out. But in the meantime, those are my predictions. That's where I think things are going, and that's the kind of information I think you need to be aware of, to be thinking about, especially as you approach a brand new year. All right, so thanks again for joining me for this installment of our podcast, 2018 Financial and Investment Predictions by Darren Garman. My top three. You've heard them. You now have and have explained them. And so you can go into 2018 armed with, heck, more information to make better and smarter investment decisions, right? Have a great day and, of course, have a fantastic and profitable 2018. All right, we'll talk to you later. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. For investment questions, comments, or to get in touch with Darren, go to www.garmanblog.com.